Please stand if you are able, and let us sing the carol, Infant Holy, Infant Lowly. It is found on page number 143 of your red hymnals at the pews, if you choose to follow along there.
Gospel reading for the day comes from Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be," Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin?" The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." And then the angel left her. In a reading from Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 16, verse 25 through 27. "Now to him who is able to establish you by my gospel and the proclamation of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery hidden for long ages past, but now revealed and made known through the prophetic writings by the command of the eternal God, so that all nations might believe and obey him. To the only wise God be glory forever through Jesus Christ. Amen." Let's pray. Indeed, amen, O Lord, at the workings of your hand. In this passage of Scripture, as we think about and ponder and reflect upon Mary, Lord, may you open up our hearts and our minds to your call for each one of us. In Christ we pray. Amen. We've just read 13 short verses from the Gospel of Luke, the birth of Jesus foretold, according to Luke, from the angel Gabriel being sent to Nazareth to Mary's acceptance of God's calling upon her life. "May it be to me as you have said." A short account of an extremely momentous event in the life of Mary and Joseph and in the life of the world. Mary's interaction with the angel Gabriel is a great model for us on how to respond to God in our life. Gabriel came to Mary, a virgin pledged to be married, and troubled Mary with his words, "Greetings, you are highly favored. The Lord is with you." And Mary's response to that greeting, Mary was greatly troubled and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. Mary's body language and her facial expression in response to Gabriel's greeting must have been one of great surprise or even fright. For Gabriel quickly tells her, "Do not be afraid, Mary." Do not be afraid. Is Gabriel serious? An angel, a messenger from God appears with a message from God himself, a message just for Mary. Is it Mary's response a natural response? Now, it's not the first time the angel Gabriel frightened someone, for Gabriel is mentioned in the Old Testament in Daniel's chapter 8 and Daniel chapter 9. When Daniel meets Gabriel in chapter 8, we learn that Gabriel looked like a man. And as the angel came near to Daniel, Daniel's response was one of being terrified, so terrified that he fell face down to the ground. And then in the New Testament, when Zechariah was serving in the temple, when the angel Gabriel greets Zechariah to announce that his wife Elizabeth was going to bear a son, the first words of Gabriel to Zechariah were, "Do not be afraid." We can understand that seeing an angel appear must be a very startling, even a frightening experience. So after greeting Mary and seeing or hearing her response, Gabriel seeks to calm Mary down, saying to her, "Do not be afraid." Those are words of assurance. Do not be afraid. And then Gabriel continues in his conversation with Mary. "You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High." Already troubled, already wondering, how do you think this news struck Mary? With child? Give birth? Jesus? Son of the Most High? How could a person grasp such a momentous, amazing, totally unexpected news? And so Mary naturally questions the angel's words. How can this be? Since I am a virgin, how can this be? Mary is thinking clearly. Evidently, she's not too thrown off by what she's heard from Gabriel. She grasps what the angel has said, but she still knows it's impossible that she is pregnant with child. How can this be? And the angel Gabriel offers a very ready response because the angel Gabriel knows God's plans. He knows the plans. "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. For nothing is impossible with God." I wonder how fast Mary's mind was spinning in those moments. From fright to questioning, from seeing and hearing an angel, let alone the content of the news that the angel had just shared with her. Yet Mary's faith triumphed over any fear or doubt. "I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said." Now, I have always read Mary's response with an understanding that Mary was just being very calm throughout the situation. I'm not sure that's an accurate thought. Mary most likely knew of the Old Testament prophecies concerning the coming of the Messiah, never imagining the one that was going to be born was going to be her own son. Whatever Mary was thinking or processing in the moment, she responded in faith. She responded to a startling, complicated, and troubling pronouncement from the angel Gabriel. Mary responded in faith, trusting that the Spirit of the Lord would remain with her throughout those coming months and throughout the coming years. I read one article that pointed out how similar Mary's response was to the response of her son, Jesus, 30 years later or so, when he would be praying in the garden on the night of his arrest. When Jesus prayed in the garden, praying the same prayer three times, he prayed the words, "My Father, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, may your will be done." Mary's words were different words, but the meaning was the same. And we've already said those words this morning. When we pray the Lord's Prayer, we pray, "Thy will be done." We can learn much from Mary's interaction with the angel Gabriel. How Mary interacted and how she responded can teach us how we can and how we even should respond to God. First, having been greeted by the angel, Mary learned that she was highly favored, causing her to wonder what it all meant. Mary wondered what kind of greeting this might be. Mary was weighing and she was pondering how the angel's words could be true. Mary listened to the angel's words and she sought to understand them. Rational thinking was a part of Mary's mindset. Second, Mary questioned the message. How will this be? Mary knew the truth. Since I am a virgin, she was honest about her life, and she might have been doubting the possibility of the angel's words, "How can this be?" Questioning and doubting are okay. They're appropriate initial responses. And then Mary moved on. Because third, Mary believed and she accepted. "May it be to me as you have said." That's a simple statement. It's a simple statement of conviction, of willingness. It's not an exuberant response. Mary didn't jump up and down saying, "Yes, I'll do it. Let's get started." It was a humble response. "May it be to me as you have said." Mary didn't know all the details. She probably hadn't had time to figure out all that was going to happen and all that was going to mean. She probably hadn't really thought about Joseph's response at that point or what other people might be saying when they heard the news. But even if she did have time to think about what this would mean for her and how Joseph and others would respond, Mary accepted God's role for her in life. Mary's response was one of humility and acceptance. Mary was submitting herself to God's will. She was trusting God no matter that her doubts and her questions were probably still lingering in her mind. Mary listened and she thought. Mary questioned and she wondered. Mary believed and she accepted. In thinking of Mary's response, there are other responses within the Christmas story for us to consider. Joseph, his initial response was to divorce Mary quietly. But once he heard from the angel of the Lord, Joseph also did what the angel of the Lord commanded him to do. The shepherds, hearing from the heavenly host, they left their flocks at night and they traveled to Bethlehem as they were directed. The Magi, the wise men, they set off on a long journey, having seen his star in the east. What can we learn from Mary's response to God? Does God ask us to serve? Anyone hear from an angel? Or maybe that still small voice has spoken to you? Have you ever felt compelled to do something but were unsure how or where to even start? How easy it is for us to say no to being asked to serve, to do something that would engage in the ministry of God's kingdom, in the Christian church. God places a call upon each and every one of us desiring us to use the gifts that he has given to us. He prepares us throughout our lives to serve him. And God has a unique plan. He has a unique purpose for each of us. And he invites us to partner with him in building his kingdom here on earth. That's why responding to God's call is so important for Christians. When we respond to God's call, we're saying yes to the plans and the purposes God has for us. We're acknowledging that we trust God. We trust him enough to lead us into the unknown as we surrender our plans and our desires in exchange for God's will for our lives. Amen. On this fourth Sunday of the month, we have our first offering for our annual budgets, and then our second offering is for our Imagine Your Faith Building capital campaign. Let's have a prayer of dedication over offerings today. Heavenly Father, gracious Lord, in the season of giving, a season initiated by you in the giving of your Son to the world, we give our tithes and we give our offerings, and I pray that we give ourselves, dedicating them and us to your kingdom, blessing the ministry of this congregation and the mission ministries we support. In our giving, may you be praised. Amen. I invite our ushers forward to receive. I invite our ushers to come back and receive the second offering for our Imagine Your Faith Building capital campaign, a faith campaign trusting in God's provision through people of faith. Year-to-date giving to the capital campaign has provided a total of nearly $116,000. Expenses so far have been $42,000 for architect fees and other testing that has happened, and leaving a gain so far this year of $74,000. Invested funds for the building capital campaign at the end of November totaled $1,183,000, When we take that and add in the Buhrer Estate and the Legacy Fund, the investment totals at this point for building projects is nearly $2,078,000. The building committee will have their next meeting with the architects on January 5th. We hope to be looking at some of the initial floor plans of the project, and we'll soon be sharing further with the congregation. So we thank you for your support and for your continued prayers.
Please stand if you are able, and let us sing our last carol. It is Joy to the World. It can be found on page number 125 in your red hymnal for those of you who wish to follow along. Please remain standing for the spoken benediction, and then the benediction in song will be verse 4 of O Come, O Come, Emmanuel, and that is found on page number 123. So let us sing Joy to the World.
The message of the Advent season has been to remain watchful with your eyes on Christ, whose birth in a manger is a promise of his coming again in glory. Now may the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.